Welcome to the Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere podcast. I am Shannon O'Hara, and I invite you to a completely new world of possibilities. Welcome to Consciousness Anywhere and Everywhere. And today we are going to be talking about the economy of consciousness. And I am joined by two incredible people, my dad.
Thank you.
And David Koobs.
Thank you.
Kubas, who you guys will...
Fine. You have to say it Viennese. Kubas.
David Kubas, who you guys will all remember from our last podcast episode. Apparently, this is money month. Apparently, I'm doing money month this month.
Well, it's always good to have a money month.
And since we're doing such backflips in all of our world economies, I would love to breach the viewpoint of economy and look at some of the different ways that economies can work. Let me give a little background. So you have shown me, Gary Douglas, have shown me how to create with energy in a way that I recognize very few people in the world tend to function from, which is what I actually call and would coin as the economy of consciousness, which is working with all energies, not just theoretically, but literally.
Well, literally how I see it is, it's like if you're truly willing to be conscious, then you can receive everything. And receiving is the primary basis for the creation of the consciousness economy. Because it's like it's your willingness to receive anything, which creates the possibility of creating anything.
Right, which is obviously a very different way of looking at creating economics or money flows or revenue streams. Yeah, it's like one of the things that I've been lucky enough to watch you do over the last, well, I've been watching for 20 years. You've been doing it for a bit longer than 20 years, is you've really been building up your business, Access Consciousness. But what I've like watched you do is include all these people. There's all these people that are involved in the economy of Access, and it functions so completely differently than other businesses and in truth, other economies. So I was hoping
That, you know, from my perspective, it's like, this is not about economy, because economy is about, you know, what you can spend, what you can't spend, what you have to spend, what you shouldn't spend, what you
interest rates, credit scores. Yeah.
Is true interest is, you know, is being interested is what creates possibility, not paying interest or getting interest or any of that. Mm-hmm. And the other part of it is that from my perspective is really important is you have to get to that place where you recognize that you're not alone. Economy is more like an ecology than it is like anything else, because it's about how we all work together to create. And that's one of the things that I've tried to do with Access is create a place where everybody begins to see how they are a contribution and how to contribute and the willingness to contribute that can create a greater possibility and a greater reality than they even realize is possible.
And I get that that aspect of contribution is what makes the conscious ecosystem or the conscious, the ecosystem.
I like seeing it as an ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, the smallest insect is part of the ecology of everything. Mm. And it's like, this insect contributes this to the whole. Yeah. This insect contributes this to the whole. And this animal contributes this to the whole. And it's like, we are all a contribution to the whole if we are willing to be a contribution, number one. But if we are willing to receive the contribution with the current ecology, which is about how we should never touch anybody, we should never come close to anybody, we should stay away from everybody. With this as the primary source of our ecological point of view and our economical point of view, what we do is we look for the wrongness of everything to avoid the possibility of disease. Now, it's like disease is part of the ecology too. Mm. It's not just one or the other. It's like everything is part of the ecology. what part of the ecology are we not choosing, are we not having, that could create something greater? It's interesting because I got a video from a guy that was in Hawaii where he went to, you know, they were advertising on TV that the hospitals were overwhelmed by all the people coming to the hospital. Mm. They're saying, stay at home. Well, there was nobody in the hospital. There were no lines of people going in the hospital. There were no, you know, beds filled out in the hallway. None of that was real. And it's like, and they showed the same video that they had showed when we were in Italy as to why the hospital was overwhelmed. Now, it's like with 300,000 people having the virus around the world, how is that overwhelming to the hospitals when we have over 9 million, billion people on the planet?
Right. And one of the things you said a minute ago was how disease is part of the ecology as well. And something that I saw, I don't know, on Instagram or somewhere, something was being posted about like help slow down the spread of the coronavirus. And I thought, what's the point of like, and I actually wondered, and I'll ask you, it's like, what is the value of slowing it down? If it has to work its way into the ecosystem, which all viruses do, they have to work their way into the ecosystem. What's the value of slowing it down?
Well, because that makes it easier for the powers that be to control what occurs and the way it's controlled. Right. You know, it's like, unfortunately, the powers that be have their own sense of control and their own way of trying to control things. They're not really interested in what creates, they're interested in what controls. And that's the difference between access and other businesses. I'm not trying to control access. I'm trying to create access.
And that's one of the big differences, obviously, between what I would call the conscious economy, economy of consciousness / conscious ecosystem, is that like as soon as you add control, you've sort of thrown the whole economy and ecosystem out of balance, and it's no longer.
That's the purpose of economy, to unbalance what could be balanced. Look at nature. Yeah. Nature is constantly on a state of create. It's not on a. Yeah. You know, it's not weighing and balancing, and it's not trying to control. It balances, but it balances itself against all the others involved in it. It doesn't balance itself against something.
I guess it's that point of view of always create that is so different disruptive. Than what, it's disruptive. I like that way of putting it. It's disruptive to some things, but it's also very effective in like what I would really love sort of like people to get is sort of obviously that we're having like some changes in the sort of money flows and economy and the ways in which our cultures have been functioning.
And the money manipulations.
Say more.
Well, it's like the thing is that if you looked at the ecology of what's being created and the way it's being created, is it really about creating or is it about manipulating things to control things in particular ways?
Right.
They just put out a thing that if you want to collect this money for, you know, taking care of your employees and stuff in the United States, you have to have an account with Comerica. That's one bank that they're willing to let you have commerce with. Now, what's that going to create? And why is that being created? And why is that the way they're doing it? Why are they looking to create Comerica as the only bank that will receive money from the United States? Because it's all about controlling the banking systems. And I think what more they're doing more than anything else, and this is not my paranoia, this is my perception of what I see out there in the world, is they just passed a bill in the United States for $2 trillion to help the economy. Mm-hmm. And they set it up so that most of it goes by cryptocurrency. Mm-hmm. Now, why have they been trying to set up cryptocurrency? Because it will... From the powers that be's point of view, they can then trace everything everybody spends, what they spend it on, how they spend it, when they get to spend it. And it also then gives them a place from which they can control what goes on, and they can tax you according to what they see. And they can put us on a tax system that is not subject to accountants as such. Well, the accountants are not going to be happy about that. They spend a lot of time learning how to do the systems that are in place to avoid taxes for people.
And that's one of the things that I'm so excited about that you've always taught me. And David, I'm super interested in your point of view and your insight as well about potential possibilities for the future. It's like one of the things that I'm really excited that you've always taught me is to be the source, meaning like what else is possible to create that doesn't, that might go beyond or exist outside of the current. One of the, I mean, just as an example, I last month, so in March, yeah. So today, as we're recording this, we're April 2nd. So March, obviously March is when like a lot of the really big changes were going down and like countries were closing their borders. And I had to cancel two really big live classes. And I started going into like, shit, where's the money going to come from? And I spent about 2 weeks of March really like out of my comfort zone of, okay, so everything is changing. I wonder how this is going to work because I've got a business to run and staff to support and so on and so forth. And we just finished doing the accounting for March and I overshot the March's income, overshot the last 6 months by about $75,000. So just a little bit of urgency for me completely overshot the last 6 months income. And I was like, wow, that
I'm
was an interesting response.
Sorry, Shannon, that's got to be bad.
And so it was sort of like congratulations to what else is possible for working yet again in my life. Because instead of going into conclusion about now the money's going to go down, I went into a second of, oh shit, okay, things have to change. Now let's get into gear using the tools and the questions that cultivate that conscious ecology of creation.
Conscious ecology of creation and monetary beauty.
Oh, I love that. It conscious is. Ecology of creation and
monetary beauty.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, it was very interesting because, you know, it's like with Access, we had the facilitators class, right? And most of the people already paid for it. It was scheduled for Rome. They closed Rome down. So then we went to Budapest. Then they closed Budapest down. So then we went to Texas. And it's like, all of this stuff occurred within 2 weeks.
The changes. Yeah, all the changes. The
changes all occurred within 10 weeks, within 2 weeks. And we all went along with it.
Yeah.
We all created from it. And it's like, right now, most of the people in Access are creating to degrees that they never knew they could.
Yeah, myself included.
I love the fact that Chris at the Guild, you know, it's like we bought a building and closed during this 2 week period. And he's now put everything in the building. We're getting it going. And it's like he has people making private appointments to come and see things.
Right. So there's always ways to create around and create through and to create with any circumstance and situation.
That's the most important thing you can say. There's always a way to create around what the situation is.
Which is what nature does. If you, you know, build a building, nature just grows around it.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's like if a tree has a particular thing and then, you know, if it grows around a particular thing, it'll grow around a friggin', you know, a house if it has to get where it wants to go.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I keep on coming to this... like this particular point of energy with you the last recently that's about creation. And it seems to get into the conversation about like creating like nature, to put it very simply.
Yes. Creating everything like nature does.
Which I think is too easy to take as a theory to go, oh, well.
It's actually one of the most complex things to create that there is.
So can you talk more about that?
When nature needs to go from point A to point B, it gets there. You know, if you watch when there's a giant, rain and flooding occurs, it's like nature finds the easiest way to get downstream. Mankind always tries hard to figure out how to go upstream.
Blows my mind, the shit that mankind comes up with. Yeah. I'm like, wow.
No, I go upstream. I don't have a boat. I don't have a way to get there, but I'm going upstream because that's what I want.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wait. Okay, so there. That's a key. That's what I want. So can we look at more how taking our personal point of view, or what's the difference between that's what I want versus the path of least resistance?
Well, it's like it's not even the path of least resistance. It's the path that allows everything to work with ease.
I would say most people aren't even able to recognize that path in their lives much at this point. No.
Well, they don't want to. So that makes it work perfectly.
Why don't they want to?
They don't want to know the path of least ease. You know, the path of most ease, because it means that they're not powerful.
Right. Because if they don't have ease, then they're constantly seeing how they can't and why they can't, which justifies the lack of power.
You know, people think power is overcoming obstacles, not changing directions.
David, is there anything you want to add or say or add, like bring in?
I want to say thank you for allowing me to receive from these conversations. So many times when you invite people to podcast, you try to give them, you know, equal time to speak and include them. But this is what Disability does. This is what we think creates. Watching you, I see you on Zoom, and listening is being a contribution and receiving. And this is the most beautiful part of creation. Allow yourself to receive and don't try to do all the time. Doing is not creating.
No.
Sometimes just sitting here and relaxing.
Choice is creation. Doing is actualization. It's how you bring something into existence is by doing. But how you choose something into existence is a whole different thing.
And that also applies to talking. We don't have to talk all the time to be a contribution. Sometimes just sitting here and listening is a contribution, and it includes receiving. So I'm very grateful to be this, to be part of this podcast where I can actually allow myself to receive and listen to these amazing conversations about what we can learn from nature. This is brilliant. We are a product of nature. So why would we not?
Yeah, it's like we act like we're not subject to nature and we're always trying to control nature. You know, it's like we take our houses and we turn them into air-conditioned units. And it's like here in Texas right now, everybody's living in their house. So their air conditioning is going off the charts and their use of the internet is going off the charts and the internet's falling apart at different times. And it's like things are not working as smoothly as they could. But this is part of what the powers that be did not realize would occur. You put people in their house, they're going to watch TV, they're going to have three electric items on at the same time. They're going to have all this stuff going on, and we don't actually have the way to handle all this stuff.
Right, which is going to change the formation of how our societies are running, which I'm having a different experience actually. We're in Sweden and it's like nothing is, there's no hiccups here. Like everything is working beautifully. There's just so much less people on the street, but we're not in lockdown here and everything is sort of peaceful. And I'm grateful. I'm extremely grateful to be here. Actually, there's like a sanity here that I haven't been sensing in a lot of other countries.
There's a lot of insanity in all the other countries.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was funny that they, you know, here in Texas, they said, okay, so we, you know, non-essential, you know, workers should not leave their houses. They should stay home. I said, what's a non-essential worker? I have people who take care of my house. I think they're very essential. And the next day they came out with a thing said, domestic help is an essential.
Nice. Yeah, I wonder who created that.
would you like to know? I can tell you.
Gary Major Douglas.
No, rich people who are in charge of everything.
Cool. Yeah.
Rich people are not going to give up their, you know, slaves and servants. They expect to have them.
So, David, I was wondering if you, well, I don't know if you've brought up with Dad, but if you wanted to, and I don't know if it fits into this conversation, about the, what's it called? It's not called Halal banking. What's it called? The Islamic banking.
Islamic banking, the Sharia compliant financing.
Sharia compliant financing.
That's what it's called.
I don't know if that's
the legal system.
I don't know if that fits into this conversation, but I'm like so fascinated and I secretly want to listen. I secretly want to hear your questions and sort of hear what Dad has to say.
Well, I think this is probably a topic for a whole different
unto itself.
Format.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I didn't have the chance to take your dead brain yet to see where we can take it. But what I love about it, and this is how it came up when we had our podcast, what can we be and do different now? And what I like about Islamic banking, it's not about the bank gives money and then is entitled to interest. It's not about taking and being entitled and giving. It's this, let's co-create this together. The Islamic banking has charging interest is not allowed. So it forces banks and clients to co-create together. This is the basic idea of Islamic banking, to equal out the positions of the strong bank. And then the businessmen says, they say, hey, let's do this together, because if you create things together where you both benefit from a profitable business that you create, then it's more likely that you will create a success rather than one giving the money and the other one needs to create and just pay back in money and interest. Yeah. That's the basic, well, that's the basic idea. And what, yeah.
Okay, so one of the things I noticed is in a lot of the Islamic countries, the point of view is that if the people that you're doing business with are not part of your tribe, quote unquote, then it's okay to screw them. It's like you can steal from, you know, the next door tribe, but you cannot steal from your own tribe. This is
that's correct, and there is, yes, and, and there is the, this is why Islamic banking has been criticized a lot, because it, this way of thinking, the Sunnis and the Shiites, they consider themselves as, we are the valuable product, and as long
you're
as you're not
chosen ones, and you are not.
Yeah. So I actually am interested in the elements of Islamic banking, the elements of the Sharia compliant financing. It's like cherry picking the things that work. I know that's a lot of criticism, but still, there are some elements that I find really interesting, especially in this moment now where we all need to look at what can we do different, and why would we not cherry pick things that work from every culture and religion and see?
Well, we have to look, you know, it's like the thing is, if you look at, you know, the Islamic banking, it's based in the religion, you know, which is not normal for most countries, except I guess if you consider capitalism a religion, then so is the American system of banking based on religion, the religion of profit.
Well, and it was also true that it was the Jews that could do the lending because you couldn't, because it wasn't Christian to lend, it wasn't Christian to collect interest from a fellow Christian. So it was, that became a different religious group's economy, basically.
Yes. But you see, it's like, that's why there is no benevolent capitalism on planet Earth.
Well, I would say it's beginning, and it isn't obviously a very popular point of view, nor is it a particularly heavily practiced point of view, but it is something that you've taught me from the beginning. Yeah. And one of the sort of resources and revenue streams that I've recognized that actually you've worked really tirelessly to teach me, that I haven't always been great at, but have been strengthening and watching the effectiveness of, it is gratitude. It's adding gratitude to how the business works and being grateful for all the people, which I think sounds so obvious, but it's not really an energy that most businesses utilize as a business practice.
Yeah, because they don't see it as a business practice, because they don't see it's actually practicing business. Business is how you make the most profit for you and somebody else gets screwed. That's normal business practice.
And I've always been very uncomfortable with the somebody else gets screwed aspect, which is why the Sharia compliance banking has always been so interesting to me, because I've always been really curious how those banking systems make money without interest. But now you just indicated that thing about how it can be very tribal. And it's sort of this place of, I've always been very uncomfortable if somebody loses, that to me doesn't feel like I'm gaining. That feels like we're all losing.
Exactly. I agree. Yeah. So it's like, for me, it's like everything is about how do we create a place, a world in which we start to work in a ecologically, economically sound reality. See, it's like the thing is, when you look at the ecology of money and lending, you know, it's like if you loan money to people and you do it in such a way that they make more money, you're actually creating, you're creating a future in which there is more money for everyone. That's not a normal place that people like to function.
Right, because that, in order to function from that, you have to also have the fundamental, I don't know what that is, awareness or belief system? I don't even know what you want to call it.
Consciousness.
Awareness that there's no limit, that there is more than enough for everybody, and it's the choice that one makes that determines how much one has.
Exactly. We want to create that.
Well, you are. And I've been trying to determine and decipher. I've been watching you for years being like, what the fuck is he doing? And then instituting, because you, it's been such a trip, sort of like, you've been a real business mentor to me, but you're also my father. So I've sort of learned lots of stuff, and I've resisted a lot of stuff, and I've rejected a lot of stuff you've tried to teach me. But then I also have been smart enough to pay attention, because I've watched what you've created, and I'm like, that seems cool. Like, I like how that's working. I want to have more of that in my life. And so I've acclimated and adapted and utilized many of the...
Well, yeah, but I think the reason you're successful as you are, Shannon, sounding like a black person now, it's like you is what you is because you are willing to let go of fixed points of view. Not many people are.
Right. And that ecology of consciousness that you were talking about a few minutes ago, it's like one of the greatest sort of access points for that is being conscious about your point of view. And that's where
also
it begins.
Recognizing, beginning to learn to recognize how what you choose, how it's going to create, how it's going to actualize in the world. Your choice actualizes different things. So every time you actualize something different, you create a different possibility. If life was about the different possibilities, not the right or wrong point of view, then you open the door to something greater than anybody else can have. And that's the receiving that we talked about in the beginning.
Yeah, brilliant. Opening the door to having greater.
Yeah.
Which is definitely something I'm interested in, is the greater.
Exactly.
Me too. And I'm so grateful to be able to listen to this amazing conversation here. And as I listen, I learn.
I know. David actually is pretty smart. Don't tell him, okay?
I remember.
He's not really intelligent.
I remember the three of us were at a lunch in December in Australia. And David, something I love that you really gifted me was we were sitting there and you turned to me and you're like, Shannon, I have to pick your brain sometime soon about your access business and what you've been doing. And I couldn't help myself. I was like, how about now? Not later. And one of the things that I indicated to you was that access yields based on being, that if you're in the business of access consciousness, that the way to yield in monetary growth, energetic growth, consciousness growth is through being. And if you're not being, access usually won't work as a business, won't really work for you. It might in spurts and in bits. And I was actually expecting you to reject or not receive what I was offering and stating, but you didn't. You actually listened. And I became greater from your receiving in ways that were such a relief to recognize.
There's the thing you got to recognize. You actually become greater by receiving. And most people try not to receive because they don't want to be obligated.
Ooh, you've got to say more there. You've got to say more about
It's like most people think that you receive from somebody that you are then obligated to do X, Y, or Z with them. What if there was no X, Y, or Z? What if there was only possibility?
Okay, you have to say more. Or David, you have to ask more because I have not...
I get it. It's not the linear. I tell you something and I get something. This is how this reality functions from. This is way more. It's not linear.
Right.
One of the things that is always amazing to me is that, it's like I'll meet somebody and they have some antiques to sell. And they'll sell me this antique and I'll make them an offer and they go, yes. I go, why would you sell that for that much money? You can't duplicate that thing. You could not make that for that kind of money. Why would you be willing to sell it for that kind of money? But people are. Why? because they don't want it anymore. They don't like it anymore. It's too fat for them. No. And it's like, literally, it's like they don't see a need for something in their life. And most people create their ecology based on need. Mm. They base their economics based on need.
It's like creating money to pay the bills.
Yeah.
How about creating money and more to create a living?
Well, it's like the thing is, that's one of the things I always try to get people to do is recognize your job is not to have a life. The job is to create a living. Living is an action that's ongoing forever. Living is an ongoing activity forever. And it's like life is, okay, now I'm finished. I've accomplished this, this, and this. So therefore I'm done. But how could you be done? You know, it's like, if you look at nature, nature is never done. They keep on going. Now, do animals die at a certain point? Usually when they hit a point of being sick or when they hit a point of not having the right stuff, then they'll die because they can die. But they don't have a point of view, you shouldn't die. For mankind has the point of view is the purpose of living is to avoid death.
Rather than to be living.
Wow.
Rather than to create living.
Can you give some tips for people who have never been taught how to create their lives and to be creating living?
Yeah. Ask the question, if I choose this, what will my life be like in 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, 50 years, 100 years? You know, everybody says, but you won't be around in 100 years. I said, how do you know? How do I know? And the other thing is, if I reincarnate, will I be around in 100 years?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I won't, you know, it's like I won't be in the same body. I won't be the exactly the same person. But it's like, I want to know that what I create today will be around it in 100 years. So if I want it back, I can get it back.
Well, that's right. And I also, and that's something that I have added to my creative vantage point within the somewhere in the last couple of years is really recognizing that before this lifetime, I was creating the consciousness, the resource, the revenue that has allowed me to get this far, this dynamically, this lifetime, and that every choice that I make today will be an investment in the consciousness of the future,
yes.
Whether that directly impacts me or affects everybody, which it's like, if somebody loses, we all lose. If somebody gains, we all gain. And that's a reality that I've...
Not a thing most people are willing to have.
And there is more than just us.
Yes, and the thing is, you have to realize there's more than just you. I mean, I had this friend that I was working with, and he was a contractor. And I said, well, you know, it's like, he at one point says, well, I'm going to take care of number one. I'm not going to take care of anybody else anymore. I said, wow, that's going to expand your life or contract your life. This would be four access even. And he goes, you know, it'll contract some areas of my life, but it'll expand my life. And it's like, so he got on his boat and sailed away. Never heard from him again. Somebody told me they thought he actually sailed into a storm and his boat went down. But his point of view is that he was taking care of himself by leaving the country. What if you were not taking care of yourself by leaving the country? What if you were creating something different by that choice?
Right. And that's one of the elements, or I would say building blocks that you've come forward with about the benevolent capitalism, the conscious ecology, is the what you coined as calling it the kingdom of we, not the kingdom of me.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to adapt to that, to be honest. It took me a long time to recognize how when I chose for what would expand the we, it actually worked out far greater than when I was choosing for the lack or the limit of me.
Yeah. You know, if you look at your life, okay, so what am I lacking here and what do I need to get? You know, the only bad thing for me personally is now I never lack anything. I haven't lacked anything for a long time.
That never lacking thing is sort of important. It's like, I don't actually think you will ever receive the ecology of that consciousness can be if you still believe in lack.
Yeah.
Is it about believing in lack, or is it about buying into other people's lack, or
buying into the idea of lack?
buying into the idea of lack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you truly lack anything? See, in nature, it's like nature's way of doing it is if they feel like they lack food, they push the fence down and go get it. Mankind, yeah. When they lack food, they call the store and have it delivered.
Which I'm very grateful for. I love it that I could walk down to the store to the corner and pick up my onions and lemons.
Such an attitude, walking down to the store. I mean, come on, Shannon. In the United States, they won't let more than 4 people into Costco, which is the fucking biggest goddamn store in the whole world. They're all at least 10,000 square feet, and they won't let anybody, which would be about 3,000 square meters or something, right? They won't let more than 4 people in at a time.
You know what's so interesting, like, about that is, too, it's sort of like people's immunes. I mean, don't people's immune systems sort of have to, like, learn how to deal with this new thing, this new element that exists?
Well, it would be the best way to do it, but that's not what they're choosing.
Maybe they're prolonging until they can come up with a vaccination.
There are some indications that they might already have the vaccine.
Right.
You know, and the Aussies said they've had the bat vaccine since 1982. It's called Vegemite.
To everyone out there who is listening and is a little bit worried about the future, just ask, what can I do different? Different. Not right, not wrong, just different.
Yeah, because that's what nature does. I mean, like, literally, we bought a bunch of Frisian horses for the ranch. I had decided I wanted to have, you know, like 8 or 10 Frisian horses to breed. You know, and it's like, and I wasn't finding any. And then one day, Cody got called out by the police to help them round up some horses that were on the street. And from that came, they were all Frisian horses. But the man who had owned them had abandoned them 3 years ago, and they were all on their own, and they had eaten all the grass on the property. And they would bust out of the barbed wire fence, they'd go through it to get to feed. So I ended up buying all of them. It turned out I thought we'd have maybe 30 because I didn't think anybody would let, you know, horses just go rampant like that, but they did. And I thought I'd have 30 of them. We ended up with 77 horses. 77? How the hell did that happen?
Because you asked for them.
Yes, I asked for a bunch of Frisians. I have to be careful what I ask for because I might receive it because I'm in the process of living. It cost us a ton of money to take care of. Things were starving to death. So it's like they did nothing but stand there and eat for months. Mm. But we got rid of them all eventually, and I think we might have at least broken even. Not sure. I don't care. Because they needed the help and I wanted what I got. So it's like everything worked out well. And I don't think in terms of the black and white of it, but I do think in terms of, okay, how many do I need? How do I get rid of all of these? And I don't have the point of view, they're worth X amount of dollars. So therefore, I have the point of view, they're costing this amount of dollars. How do I reduce my costs? I still have that point of view with everything I do. Reduce your costs. Increase your income, increase your revenue stream. This is a capitalistic point of view, or is it? Maybe it's a benevolent capitalistic point of view. Because it's like if you've got stuff that it's costing you to keep and you get rid of it, you sell it for nothing, you give it away, you do whatever you do, have you created or have you destroyed? Have you stopped or have you expanded?
Well, in the context,
I always see it as expansion.
Yeah, in the context that you're saying it is expansion, and I guess like what creates that difference is it your point of view.
Yes.
Back to the point of view.
The reality, not reality, creates your point of view.
And that's what's so important for people to get about economics and ecology and money is that we so often assume that it's something outside of us that we are subject to, rather than recognizing that it's something that can be subject to us if we choose.
Yes, and it will contribute to you, but you've got to look for the contribution. You can't just assume, sell this, get rid of this, do this. It's like, what's going to create the most for my future?
look for the contribution. What's going to create the most for the future? Thank you so much for that. It's wise words to live by.
Wise words by an unwise man. Cool.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to make consciousness easy to find and choose. So if you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this with somebody who you know who might be looking for more consciousness in their life. You can visit me on shannon-o'hara.com or talktotheentities.com. And to learn more about the amazing tools of Access Consciousness, you can visit accessconsciousness.com and be sure to subscribe to the podcast.